So I was eating dinner the other day, and I just had like a mouthful of lentils, and something went wrong with one of the teeth at the back of my mouth. But I had this really like sharp pain, and I was like, "Fuck, I don't need this." I had like a checkup not that long ago. My teeth are in like, apparently perfect condition. So I phoned my dental practice, and I don't know what it is, but the admin in my dentist practice are just like demons. Like,
Sorry.
I swear they're cursed, and it, I'm perfectly nice. Like, I work in administration. I know how to talk to people. I put on my lovely phone voice, which is very different from the voice that I use on a daily basis. And I was like, "Oh, hi, I just want to like book an appointment to see my dentist name redacted for legal reasons." And she was just like, "Well, we don't have any appointments till June." I was like, "Cool, sorry, bro. My mouth hurts and I need to see a dentist." And she was just like, "I was like, what have I done to you?
She huffed at
Yeah,
you.
like full on huffed at me." And she was like, "Oh." And then she was like, you can hear her like furiously tapping away on her keyboard. And she was just like, "Well, what do you need then?" I was like, "Well, I'm not a fucking dentist, so I don't fucking know." I was like, "I need to see a dentist because there's something wrong with one of my teeth. It hurts. It doesn't hurt like all the time. I haven't got like toothache. It's just like when I chew on it, I think I've just cracked filling, but I'm not gonna let her know that." And she was just like, "Well," and I was like, "Well, I just needed an appointment to see like my dentist to like fix it." And she was like, "Well, he won't be able to fix it on the appointment that you come in." And I was like, "Well, can you just book it? Just book something in the diary." She huffed at me again. And then she was like, "I'm gonna put you on hold for a minute." And I was like, "Okay." She put me on hold for 5 fucking minutes. 5 fucking minutes.
You know
I was
she
like,
went. She was doing nothing, wasn't she? She went and made a
I
cup
know
of
she went
tea.
to go and like purr fingers up her arse or something. I don't know what demons do in their spare time. But like, I was just like, "I don't understand what I've done to like piss you off so much. This is like your literal job. Like, and if you hate it that much, just fucking quit. Give the job to someone who wants it. Like, I'll come and do it because I get to work with my whole dentist. I don't give a shit. I'll take that pay cut, bitch." And it was just like, I just don't understand what I've done to infuriate you that much. And she like, then she came back. She was just like, "I've got an appointment. It's in a couple of weeks." I was like, "Cool, I'll take it." Like, I don't understand what. That's some of the problem
The whole purpose is for the person to call you to book an appointment. And how can you be mad when someone then calls you to book an
I was just
appointment?
like, well, either like have like a really good online booking system if you don't want to talk to people, or just like don't pick the phone up.
Yeah.
Like, she was just so mad at me, and I was just like, I'm really sorry, but then I was just like, okay, thanks, bye, and just put the phone down. And then she just like didn't send me the reminder email thing. So now I hope I write down the appointment wrong, right? Even. It's just like, I don't know why you're doing your job out of spite.
I think it's like a prerequisite though. Like at doctors and dentists, it's like they're always like they're not always. It happens a lot where
Mine is.
they're not nice.
And the problem too is the reception is she sounds every time I call like I've personally kicked her dog and like spat on her grandma, like just real not happy. And I can't like I absolutely sympathize. I used to work phones for a school and I used to have to deal with parents. And wow, they can be assholes too. So like I totally
Yeah.
get getting yelled at over the phone is not fun. So whenever I call like dentist or doctors or anybody, I try to be like overly nice because I feel really guilty about calling you, even though that's part of the job and everything. But yeah, the GP, my current one, is so the receptionist is so scary. The nurses and everybody there are just the absolute kindest. They're so like wonderful, but I'm always like just terrified of the receptionist.
I had that at my doctor's. I changed my name when I got married. With my doctors, you don't phone the doctor's practice. You do it all through an app, which is
Oh,
dreamy. Love
nice.
it. Big
Oh.
fan. It's amazing. And I went after my appointment. I went up to the reception desk and she looked like I'd just shit in her face. And then she was like, I said, oh, can I have a form? Apparently, I need a form to change my name. And she was just like, yeah, here you go. Here's the form. And I was like, okay, can I just fill it in now and give it to you? Do you need any like ID or anything? And she was just like, you can't fill it in here.
How dare
I
you?
was like,
Do you
what?
want me to stand on the
I
sidewalk?
was just like, what? And she was just like, you need to take it home, fill it in, and then post it to us. And I was like, do you understand how fucking ridiculous that is? I live probably 7 minute walk from here. Like I could just fill it, I could fill it in and just give it to you with like my real ID that you can see in person. I don't know what I've done to these people, and I'm sorry. And like, I used to be a receptionist, and I don't think I was ever that rude to anyone. Oh shit, maybe I was. No, I wasn't. I'm lovely.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Murder Friends, the podcast where three friends from three different countries talk about murder. My name's Alana, and I'm Canadian.
I'm Anna, and I'm American.
My name's Hannah, and I'm British.
So sit back and relax. You're among friends, and let's talk murder.
Hello. We have been blessed with sunshine in the UK today. Guys.
Praise be.
I'm
so excited.
Posted this little meme that says, seasonal depression seems fake until it's like 60 degrees. In March, and it feels like you've popped a Molly. It is the truth. It is the truth.
I'm very confused as to what time it is, though.
Yeah, our clocks just sprung forward. Do you guys have that? Do you have that in Canada, that saying, that spring forward, fall back?
Yeah, that's the only way I remember. Me which too. Way they go.
But it's not, because you don't call it fall. You call it autumn. We call it, so, you know, that's how you can remember.
The only way I remember prior to iPhones and it's doing everything automatically was my mom used to text me.
Oh, that's such a mom thing to do.
And the thing is, like, sometimes, you know, when you're out on, like, an absolute rager, when we used to go to, like, clubs and stuff, and it was really sweet getting a text from your mom at, like, 2 a.m. being like, don't forget the clocks go back.
Aww, that's so sweet.
I don't know what she's doing up at 2 a.m., but, yeah.
Yeah, what is she doing up? Although I have...
probably out there on a rager.
Theories about your mother. She's probably, like, yeah, I don't know. She's just great fun. Can we have her as a special guest on Murder Friends?
No, she's the devil. No, I love her very dearly.
If you were going to off your husband, how would you do it?
She's pulled out a fucking list and you know.
I know. Do you ever have like one of those days where you have so much to do, you're overwhelmed. It's like almost you don't even know where to start. So you pull the blinds or the shutters and then just take a nap. That was me today.
Like today.
Yeah, like today.
She's like a casual Monday. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like overwhelmed with the amount of things I need to accomplish before tomorrow. I can't. I'm just gonna go have a nap instead. So that's what I've been up to today.
I had like a really like busy day at work, and I was like, the sun's out, I'm still working from home. I thought I'd like open up my windows, get some like air through the house. And then every single one of my neighbors decided to use a leaf blower.
What?
Or a pressure washer. Well, and I'm pretty sure one of them was just banging two bits of, like, scaffold pole together for, like, four fucking hours.
Just because they can.
It's just, like, the first nice day, the first day you want to open your windows, and it's just, like, a screaming mess outside. So I just promptly closed them all and then worked in my own stench for all day.
Amazing.
Just lovely.
I had so much to do, but it was too sunny, so I went outside on the balcony and listened to a Dateline and just kind of, like, sat in the chair with my face up. And it was super peaceful. And then this guy was like running down the street. It's like, oh, I hope he's all right. And he's and
was he jogging?
Muttering.
He's just out front.
No, you can hear him muttering, I gotta piss. Oh. And literally in my line of vision, in this beautiful sunny day, I'm relaxing. He just like pisses behind this tree, like right in front of me. I was like, cheers, pal.
Welcome to Ken.
Wow, guys. Way to enjoy the day. Yeah. The first, like, the warmest day of the year so far. I did actually go out for a little, not really a walk, but I just went and got a sandwich and sat in the park. And it was really good because it wasn't full of, like, piss heads at the moment. So it was pleasant and it was sunny. So just sat there, had my sandwich, enjoyed the sun, and then went back in to take a nap. So that was about it. No. Yeah, but are you guys watching anything, listening to anything? What are you guys, how are you entertaining yourselves during?
Oh, we just started The Flight Attendant.
I've heard about that.
It's like HBO or HBO Max or something. We may download it.
Legally, cool.
But
it's out on Sky now, though. It's on Sky, so yeah.
Yeah, we just watched the first two episodes, but the first one I was kind of like, yeah, okay, like this is interesting. It's shot really well. It's, you know, really high production quality and everything. And then something happens and I was like, oh, I didn't know it was this kind of show because I didn't know anything about it. But it's really good so far.
Yeah, I've actually heard about it, like people talking about it. I've heard it's kind of bonkers. So it's on the list, definitely.
I've never heard about it. What's the general premise? Is it about a flight?
It's got, yes, awesome. Kaylee Coco.
Oh, yeah.
Kaylee Coco. Yeah. A apparently, because my partner found it, and he's like, we should really watch this, because she was doing an interview about how she loved the idea so much that she didn't want to be paid to do it. Like, this was, like, her passion project.
Oh, shit.
And so I was like, okay, like, fair play. That sounds interesting. So she's, like, this alcoholic partier flight attendant woman who ends up in this really awful situation. And it's crime, mystery kind of thing. But the one guy from Haunting of Hill House is in it. One of the brothers, I don't know his name, but you'd recognize him. Anyway, it's really good, and it's definitely not what I expected, but I'm only on the second or the third episode now, so I hope it doesn't go downhill.
I'm watching Big Sky. Have you heard of that? No. It's like crimey, murdery type thing. It's on Disney Plus, and I think it's already shown in the US, but they're releasing episodes weekly. So if you have Disney Plus, it's good so far. It's kind of about, at first, the kidnapping girls, and they're trying to find them. And then it's pretty nuts. There's this big thing that happens in the first episode that I was like, what? Yeah. So anyway, it's worth it. It's like something to watch. I don't know. It's out there. I tried to watch a show called Traces on BBC iPlayer. It's on BBC. Don't watch it.
Oh, no.
Okay? Don't. And you know me. I have a considerably lower threshold of being entertained than you two, okay? So if I say it's bad... it's bad, okay.
I've heard of that. That's always like recommended on when we do like the Sky recordings. That's always like, it always comes up.
Yeah, it's,
but
like,
I have no idea what it's about.
Just don't.
Just awful.
Just
trust
that's
me. Good to
know. Just don't watch it. So yeah, how about you, Hannah? What have you been?
We've been trudging on with The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh yes.
But James and I have like a 2-episode limit because it's just too much.
It's heavy, isn't it?
Like, I feel like we have to watch something funny afterwards or just go and do something else separately afterwards because it's just a bit much. So, yeah, I think we're only a few episodes deep into series 2. Mm. But it's good. I like it. It's terrifying, though.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's not an easy watch.
No, definitely not. I haven't watched another episode of MasterChef and I refuse to do so. So, yeah, my rage levels are fairly low for the moment. So for True Crime News this week, we're headed to New Jersey, and the headline from ABC reads, "Man accused of one murder says he's really killed 16.
Oh, I'm so glad you did this one. I'm not so glad you did this one, but a listener actually sent us this story this week well via email. So,
oh, good. It's nice to know you're hoarding them rather than...
Yeah.
Yeah, we just share that. Yeah,
I meant to. I usually do. I just forgot. I just realized, like, oh, yeah, I forgot to share that. But, hey, you got it. So it's fine.
just keeping them to yourself.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Sean Lennon, who is 47 years old, was arrested and charged with beating to death a 66-year-old New Jersey resident who he says sexually abused him as a child. This was on the 8th of March. He then made a phone call to a relative where he made the admission and, quote, expressed remorse for killing 4 people who were found in a vehicle in New Mexico and 11 other individuals. So the 4 that were found in the car were Lannon's ex-wife, Jennifer Lannon, who was 39, and then 3 others were with her. Matthew Miller, who was aged 21, Justin Matter, who was aged 40, and Randall Apostolon, who was aged 60. The car belonged to Randall, and it was parked in a parking garage at Albuquerque International Sunport Airport in New Mexico. Lannon and his ex-wife lived in New Mexico, so he drove from New Mexico to New Jersey to do this murder. So the 4 were reported missing in January from Grants, which is around 18 miles west of Albuquerque, and the car was found on the 5th of March. Sean had told family that his ex-wife, Jennifer, had run off with some friends and was possibly headed to Arizona. Jennifer's brother, Chris, said that this sounded just completely bullshit and wrong. Although Sean and Jennifer had divorced after nearly a decade of marriage, they continued to live together and co-parent their 3 children. And these children are aged between 7 and 4.
Oh.
So Chris, Jennifer's brother, said it was really, you know, mad that she would just like run off and leave her kids. Going back to the murder in New Jersey, the body of 66-year-old Michael Dabowski was found in New Jersey after police conducted a welfare check. He'd been beaten to death with a hammer. Horrible. In relation to the other 11 murders purportedly committed by Lannan, police in New Mexico have confirmed that they have no evidence to suggest that these murders took place. No missing persons, no homicide reports that sort of fit in with the story told by him. Police Lieutenant David Chavez from Grants, New Mexico said, quote, "Is it possible? Sure, anything's possible. Is it plausible? Question mark." And he also said, quote, "Unfortunately, we're still investigating that and conducting search warrants for evidentiary value." So the article confirms that the FBI and the US Marshal's office have also been notified, but they don't have any further information. So this is kind of like a developing thing. Lannan was arrested on the 10th of March driving Dabowski's stolen car. We'll put the link to the ABC News article on our website, and it's got a lot more details in there if you want to read all about it. It is interesting, and it's a little bit sort of, it's just bizarre,
yeah,
isn't it? So that's all going to be on the website if you'd like to go check that out.
So he's potentially confessed to these murders that are not considered murders at the time because they don't know where they are.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah.
Christ.
Wow. So there's something in the article about you know, him dismembering people, so I'm assuming he's killed people who wouldn't be reported. This is, you know, potentially he could be talking out his ass, that he's killed people that are wouldn't be reported missing.
Okay,
right. And hidden the body, wow, somewhere. But if he has, Jesus, killed 16 people, then that's bananas.
That's terrible.
It's, wow, scary, isn't it?
Did they say, is there any sort of like motive for what he's, has they said any motive?
For the 66-year-old they found in New Jersey, it was that he had allegedly abused him as a child. But in the article, it said something about how that man had attended a party, like, fairly recently, like a family-type gathering, and nothing was said, and no one made any, like, movements and, you know, whatever. And then there's nothing else in the article.
Jeez. So it's, wow, that, like, is so creepy.
Yeah, I think that's what makes it kind of added layer of ick.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I guess I'm sure we'll be hearing more about this, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to keep an eye on it, actually. I might set up a like a Google alert or something. Yeah. Because it's just a bit, yeah, it seems a bit much.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so today we are going to review Unraveled, the real story of the Long Island serial killer podcast. Have you guys listened to all of it or some of,
yes,
it?
Yes, and yes.
Yes. Okay, great. So it's a 7-part podcast from Discovery Plus, and it's hosted by Alexis Linkletter and Billy Jensen. And basically they investigate the investigation. It's kind of like what they're doing. And there's also like a companion special on Disney. I mean, Disney, not a Disney show, Discovery Plus. So I didn't watch the show because I listened to the podcast. So anyway, but I bet it's good. So we have no, like, Alexis Linkletter has a podcast, and she also produces, I think, I want to say she produces or works on loads of crime shows. And Billy Jensen's like a true crime OG. Like, everyone kind of knows him. We've actually talked about him in another episode about his book and stuff like that. So I'm sure you guys have all heard of him. So on May 1st, 2010, a young sex worker named Shannon Gilbert went missing in, and in searching for her, Suffolk County uncovered 10 additional bodies, began an exhaustive and coordinated investigation assisted by the FBI. After Gilbert's body was finally recovered on December 13th, 2011, most stories of the Long Island serial killer end. So that's kind of like where they think he stopped. And so this is where Unraveled starts. So it doesn't really, it's not so much exhaustive on what happened. So it's not really about what happened, like the murders or anything like that, so much. They're both from Long Island, Linkletter and Billy Jensen. And so it's kind of a personal journey a bit. They go back there. They shed light on like the tight-knit community that maybe like trying to uncover some clues to the mystery. Talk to witnesses that may have been silenced and sort of really dive into some police corruption. So just 2 days after the discovery of Gilbert's body, James Burke was named chief of police. Burke immediately blew up the investigation, dismantling the team that had handled the case from the beginning and, like, mysteriously blocked the FBI from assisting in the case any further. So the first episode is one of the most sort of like shocking, explosive episodes like I've definitely listened to on a podcast. I thought, and in that episode, they interview Christopher Loeb, and he's the man who actually helped put Burke behind bars. He is currently behind bars and possibly, or no, he's not currently behind bars now, but he was. Sorry, I'm getting confused. The series goes on to explore how corruption within the Suffolk County PD could have severe implications on the investigation. And really, what it does say a lot of is how Burke, the then chief of police, is sort of shrouded in accusations of being tied to the deaths. So we'll talk about the first episode. I kind of don't want to spoil it for people, but we'll just talk about like the first episode. So go listen to it. And Christopher Loeb was... He admitted he was a drug addict at the time, and he robbed a car. Now, the car was outside of James Burke's house, and he took a bag out of the car, and in the bag were some different things, but mainly the main shocking thing is there was like a snuff film in there, which he then put on and was really shocked to see what it was. Now, the police then come in, arrest him without any sort of like,
evidence.
I was trying to think, like, they had no reason to come in there really at the time. They came in there, they got the tapes back and basically took him down and like essentially tortured him. And, it was pretty horrific listening to it. He was obviously, he's still like super scarred by it and really, you know, scared about it. And then there was like this whole cover up about what took place. But eventually a police officer did come forward. It was all exposed. He went to jail. He's no longer a police officer, etc. So as the podcast goes on, we listen to other stories of like the DA that he was friends with. It's quite an incredible story about the rise and fall of James Burke. And it sort of dives into a little bit more about, I mean, I know... From listening to it, it's very much, whereas they don't make any accusations, it just doesn't put James Burke in a very good light and what they did with this investigation. And we know that it's a really close-knit sort of like community where the bodies are found. And it's very much like, I think they were talking about that, like how it has been hard to, you know, get people to talk about certain things and stuff like that. But anyway, I really liked the podcast because it was just new facts. It was new facts stuff I didn't know about the case because the case has been going on, you know, for quite a long time. They were found in 2011, so it's 10 years. You know, I think we've all probably listened to a podcast or watched something about Lisk. I read the book as well, and we had that movie. What was it called? Lost Girl?
Yeah, the one we didn't like.
Yeah,
we didn't like.
Terrible. Yeah.
It was a terrible film. It was about Shannon Gilbert and her mother trying to find her. And yeah, so I just enjoyed it. Myself, what did you guys think?
I liked it. So I didn't actually have anything on the go when Anna, you suggested this. So I just like immediately, I just put on the first episode and I was really shocked. Like it kind of felt like one thing after the other was sort of like, oh shit. And then you're like, oh fuck. Mm. It's just like another thing. Oh shit. And then I realized that it wasn't all released yet, but I was already hooked at that point. So it's like, fuck, now I gotta keep going week to week. I think it's a tough podcast to listen to because there are so many people involved and there's so many different sort of intersecting stories. So even just like trying to give a synopsis of the podcast, I think is really difficult because there's just a lot. There's a lot in there. But they do lean quite heavy on the potential allegation that this James Burke, who was the cop who then became the police chief, that he either may be directly involved with these murders or covered up for somebody or was indirectly involved or something. Like there's very much a heavy assumption that he is involved in some way, which in itself is crazy to think about, especially with this case. You know, it's been going on for so long and we hear stuff about it all the time and we watch stuff about it. And then to be told, like, actually, this is a really big suspect. And he's obviously so prominent in the community and he has all this power and everything. I think even if you don't believe that Burke is involved at all, which is fair, and I think some people will come to that. Even if you don't believe that, I think it would be hard to listen to the podcast and believe that there's no corruption. I think that at the very base, that something went wrong and shit was not handled how it was supposed to be. So even if you just take away that portion from the podcast, I still think it's worthwhile, even if you don't believe more of the like explosive allegations and things. At the very least, shit happened that shouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there was loads of stuff in there that I had never heard about, never considered. So that was quite interesting. It's definitely a podcast that you have to pay attention to, because I was listening to it and I was doing something else and I'd have to pause and rewind and be like, wait, I'm lost again. Like, what's happening? And because, yeah, there is so much going on and everything. But yeah, I thought it was a good podcast. I don't know what I believe after listening to it. Like, it just, how is it possible? I don't know. It's a good podcast. Lots to think about.
So when Anna said there was a podcast about Liscow and she was going to listen to it, I was like, okay, off you go. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't care. I felt like we watched that awful film and, you know, the case is unsolved and it's a big, big case. They think there was like 10 to 16 bodies that are connected with it. Is that right?
Yeah.
10. Or like, yeah, 10
yeah,
plus.
Yeah, finding different
yeah.
areas.
Yeah.
And...
but they think it's all like the Gilgo Beach.
Mm. The Gilgo Beach,
kind of,
right,
yeah. And they found some anyway. That was kind of like a real crusher. And it's also one of those cases that makes me really, really angry, really, really frustrated because of the way in which these women were treated as victims of a murderer. Like, they were clearly murdered. They didn't, you know, it's not accidental death. They were clearly murdered. Mm-hmm. And that they were considered lesser because they were involved in sex work and probably lesser because they were women. Anyway, then Anna said it was really good. And then Alana started listening to it. And I was like, oh, fuck, now I have to. If I'm perfectly honest.
I was like, just listen to the first episode.
Yeah, but, you know, you. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in, like, you know what I mean.
Anna's recommendation. It's fine. We already discussed my level of for entertainment is much lower than yours, too. So.
Yeah. So it is, like, the first episode is, I think you both said it's explosive, and that's exactly, like, the notes that I put down. I think Alexis Linkletter and Billy Jensen are fantastic hosts. Like, going straight in on that police chief and, like, the snuff film allegedly found in his alleged holdall is kind of bananas. And they really sought to sort of humanise the victims, which I did appreciate. But I do have, like, really bad criticisms of it, and I feel really terrible because I know you both enjoyed
it.
Sure.
It's good.
Yeah, I just thought it was a little bit too overproduced. Like, the music did not enjoy that. Maybe a little bit dramatized in places, i.e. all of it, no offense. And the case is complicated. Like, there are a lot of victims and it's a big area and it spanned, you know, numerous years, and there were a lot of big players and a lot of smaller players, and like some of the bodies haven't been identified, and like I just don't feel like it was set out very coherently. It was hard to focus on. And I know, like Anna said, that there's the 2-hour special that accompanies it. So I don't know whether the podcast was set out like that to make people watch the special.
Okay, yeah, that's a good fair point. Actually, fair point.
That's a fair point.
Yeah. And I was also, like, mildly skeptical of Alexis's friend who allegedly found this incriminating evidence. Like, no doubt that he did suffer an assault in police custody and... but it just, like, didn't seem to sit right that they were just taking his word for, like, gospel. Like, did he actually provide any credible evidence other than, you know, being
James Burke literally went to prison.
For beating him up in custody. Yeah. But, like, there was I just feel like it was all a bit speculative. And I do believe that it's my opinion that James Burke, like, the chief of police and the DA and other, like, I'm gonna call them, like, power players in the story probably had something to do with it, but
yeah,
evidence please.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Like, I think it's a fantastic podcast. I just got to the end of it and I was like, what did you actually achieve?
I know what you're saying. I think I the only reason I liked it this time with this one, I would say, is because I think I've probably, out of both, I've read the book about this case. I don't know. It was new information for me. Yeah. And it was, like, the first time there's a real, like, it seems like we got some more real information about people.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does that make sense? Mm. And I appreciated that. So, like, I felt like, for me, having read that book, done quite a lot of stuff about Lisk, that it was, like new information
more,
for me.
Yeah.
And more that just added. Yeah. So, for me, I think that's why. I see what you're saying about that. I think...
it's definitely like a whole new angle on a case yeah. that we, you know a lot about. And for that, I was really appreciative. Like, it's a great podcast. Mm. Like, I would recommend that you go and listen to it. But I'm also going to be a little bit skeptical about
absolutely. You should be
about really. The evidence, and I think you should be. Yeah, you should be in general. But yeah, no, I like other than that. Like, it was really good. I really enjoyed it.
I think, too, what you're saying, like, by the end of it, what do we actually have?
Yeah.
So much of the stuff that we learn are, like, ties to people. So you learn about James Burke, and you learn about his ties to cases when he was a kid. And then you learn about his ties to the DA. And then you learn about, you know, some of his personal life that's a bit awful. And then you learn about someone else's personal life that's a bit awful. And you're like, okay, it's kind of like building a picture. But in terms of, like, video evidence or fingerprints or blood or any like actual physical evidence, no, I don't think we get any of that. But you do learn about the relationships between, like you said, the power players and how maybe there's influence over each other and who's supporting who and why would they support this person who's so obviously awful, you know? So it's way more like we were kind of getting the picture in focus, but there's no actual physical evidence.
No.
Still.
I think the one thing I would say is, like, maybe I think people should know about what went on and what's going on. Like, I think they did good to, whether it's true or not, hopefully, it gets a little bit more attention on the case, because you never know. If people see that these people, because remember the girl that they interviewed that was, like, didn't want her name mentioned, she was still scared about it. There's people that were still, like, scared, like, like, her friend was still really scared, and, like, what that's what it seemed like. And that the woman that they did interview was scared still. And so you wonder if – my hope is perhaps people will start to – maybe would feel more comfortable coming out. There's people starting to try to talk. Like I said, I think a big thing is it being such a tight-knit community, and especially if there was police involvement in the cover-up, allegedly, maybe – I don't know.
Shit definitely went down. Went down. So I'm glad it's just figuring out what went down
and who's hiding what, and then who's connected to who. Yeah,
absolutely. Cool. So I mean, I said 1 to 5. What are you guys gonna give it, Hannah?
I like a solid 4.
Okay.
I think, like, I am skeptical of it, but I think it was overall a very good podcast, and I think that if you want something to listen to, you should listen to it.
Yeah. And what about you, Lana?
I'd say 4 or 4.5. There were parts where the music was kind of like, all right, tone it down a little bit. And yeah, it is frustrating because we still don't have that physical evidence. But I thought the information that they brought forward and the relationships that are uncovered was really quite shocking. So I thought it was definitely worth a listen.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I think I'm going to go 4 or 4.5 as well. I think about the same. I just think as far as, like, it held my attention. I found it interesting subject matter because it was new information. Obviously, that the both of them are they're good podcasters, good hosts. They know what they're doing. I do. When you mentioned the music, I wonder if it was a little bit more overproduced because it was a companion to the show. And I wonder if that could be the reason it was a little bit more like that. But anyway, give it a listen. I mean, the pandemic, you ain't got nothing better to do.
Weird Crime Time. So this week for Weird Crime Time, I had a crime that y'all found and shared in the WhatsApp group. And I was like, God damn it. So I ended up doing just like a deep dive. I was on Reddit. I don't know if you guys have Reddit deep dive nights, but I did. And there's a section of what is the most stupid criminal you've come across, whether like firsthand or someone's told you about. Now, of course, this is Reddit, so please take it with a grain of salt. But some of the stories, your heart breaks for the stupidity of the person. So I've picked 3 stories that I'm going to share with you guys. So this first one, the person's talking about their mom's cousin was a bank robber. However, he did get caught because one time he went into the bank, he scoped the place out, figured out, you know, where cameras are, where bank tellers are, this the layout of the bank. So he goes in, he scopes it out. He then leaves to go back to his bike, in brackets, this motherfucker robbed banks on a fucking bike. End brackets. He, while outside, he puts his mask on and he comes back in and robbed the bank. But of course, when police then look at the security tapes, of course, they see that the bank robber was wearing the exact same clothing as the guy who was in the bank previously.
Oh, come on.
And then gets caught.
Oh, my God.
Just, like, put a new hoodie on or something.
Yeah.
I mean, the thought was almost there. Almost there.
You get one of those, like, participation badges. Like, you tried your best.
Wow.
We've got another one. So this person is actually a police officer, and they took a vehicle burglary report where the victim found a driver's license sitting on the driver's seat that the suspect must have left behind. So I guess they broke into the car, dropped their driver's license.
Oh my right? God.
Now, it seems damning, but if he had any criminal smarts, he would just say that his license was stolen and the thief must have dropped it when breaking into a new victim's vehicle. And without any other evidence, the case would have gone nowhere. The next day, I take a report at a church that was a couple blocks away from the vehicle burglary. This guy stole the video cameras from the church building. He must have thought that the footage came with the camera, because when we checked the video, there is a high def close-up of the suspect's face as he removed the camera. Now, it's good evidence, but I still don't know who the guy was until I looked at the license I collected the day prior and saw it was the same exact guy.
Wow, this guy is like real stupid.
Oh, that's so
not
cute.
Only is he breaking into cars, he's also breaking into churches. Takes no break in between. He's, like, going for it.
Didn't notice his missing ID.
It's just the stealing the camera because you think that's where the footage is kept. Honey, no.
He really, this isn't the line of work for you, mate. No. Like, let's try something else.
Get an office job. Be a receptionist at my dentist or something.
You don't even have to be nice.
Do a better job.
Okay, so this last one, we're going to Florida. And this person is a 911 dispatcher in Florida. So I can only imagine the stories that they could tell. Sometimes confused or drunk people knock on the wrong door and try to get into a house thinking that it's theirs, but it isn't. It's an honest mistake. We get it all the time. But the homeowner is rightfully very afraid, thinking that they are about to be robbed or worse. Well, I had this kid, must have been in his early 20s and clearly stoned, called 911, going absolutely crazy that someone is trying to kill him and take his property and attack his girlfriend, etc., etc., etc. I send units code 3 to this guy's house, thinking it's a burglary in process. Turns out the guy ordered a pizza and forgot about it, but was so high that he thought someone was trying to get him, scared the delivery guy half to death.
Oh my God.
Oh, I've never forgotten about a pizza being delivered to me.
No, I stand at the door, I know. Like, waiting.
My face pressed against the window.
Yeah.
My tongue out. Have you seen that, like, that gif of that kid that's just, like, licking the window?
Yeah.
Just like that. That's me. That's what I look like.
How do you forget about, oh my God, oh no.
You must have been
so high. I guess
he
was just so, like, so high. So high.
Yeah, but even when you're at that level of high, I don't think you can forget about a pizza coming.
You want to eat the pizza, don't you? Like,
that's why you ordered the pizza, sure.
Exactly.
Oh, child.
Can you imagine the poor delivery guy is just, like, banging on the door and then, like,
he's like, I just want to get paid.
And then there's, like, guns, take this pizza. Guns
I've got
drawn.
Fucking meat supreme here.
Guns drawn, like,
That's terrifying.
Oh, my God. I hope I give him a tip.
Oh, I doubt it.
Well, I think that's all we have for today. You can find all of our sources on our website, murderfriends.com. You can email us any more suggestions, like the one I forgot to share with the other ladies. just email them to me, murderfriendspod@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's murderfriendspd, and Instagram is murderfriendspod. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.